Bitmem de miyim bakayım. Ama benim var ise şu an var.
Shalom. God bless you this evening, saints. We're just getting everything started here. And then that should be us. So God bless each and everybody this evening. May the Lord bless you. I do apologize to them who try to join in a couple of weeks back. I saw Sister Grace. Sorry about that. Not sure how to get the message to people when we're away or not able to do it. But we're back in action now. We had focused on the young people for the last few weeks after the youth meeting and so forth. So that's why we were doing some internal stuff. And then we traveled to Serbia to go for meetings last week and the weekend. So it was a little bit of a busy time, but we thank the Lord for it all. So we've come to this topic this evening. Just waiting to see who else is joining there. But we're looking at this topic as I share my screen. How should a Christian dress? That's going to be our thought this evening. It's quite a big topic, and I thought maybe the best way to go about this was there's several things we need to look at. We need to do a little bit of a background. I think the background is really, really important to try to find out the foundation of where we get the answer to what we believe. Like if you wanted to know things about how should a Christian dress? What is going to be our standard on that? You know, I just want to maybe explain a little bit on that. It'll help us to understand how we study the word, how we can get into seeking to know the mind of the Lord, because that's what you want. We want to know what the Lord desires from us. That's the most important thing, because we want to walk pleasing to him. We want to hide his word in our hearts so that we might not sin against him, like the Bible says. And this applies to everybody. It applies to young people. It applies to older people. These principles we wanted to have a look at this evening as we bring ourselves into this topic. So our thought is, you can see the background, there's conduct, order, and doctrine. So these topics for the next few weeks, it'll probably take a good few weeks to get through all of this, but we'd like to take time. We did this a few years back, quite some years back, and it's really overdue for us to go through these things again. So may the Lord really help us, and this is our desire, that it might be a help, that it might be something that ministers clarity into these situations, that we as believers, we should know what we believe, we should be able to, you know, take it back to the word to show what we believe. We want to be fully equipped. That's our desire. So we really need the grace of the Lord to help us on that. Let's just ask for the Lord's grace in prayer before we go any further. Help us, Lord, we desire as we approach this topic. We just want you to lead us and guide us, Lord, that your will may be done. Lord, that you would establish us, that you would help us, that you would lead us and guide us, that, Father, we may walk in your truth, that you may walk in the light as you are in the light. For, Father, it's such a blessed thing. Then we have fellowship with one another. Then your blood cleanses us from all sin. I do pray for every person who's joined. May you bless them. Every other person that would join, who'd watch this down the way, guide and lead and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our scripture, which we're going to get ourselves started straight away, is 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. So Paul is telling us here to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we desire. We don't want to minister confusion. There's a lot of confusion in the Christian world. We want to rightly divide the word of truth. So in order to do that, we need to study. We need to really apply ourselves to these things. Study to show thyself approved unto God. So we want to walk pleasing to the Lord. That's the most important thing we desire in this life. We like to please one another. We like people to pat us on the back, but that's not our absolute. Our absolute is to please the Lord. We want to please him. So we want to study the word, get into it so that we can rightly divide the word of truth. Because there's a lot of confusion. We don't need confusion. You know, that God has given us his word. His word is there to give us answers, not to minister further questions. And may the Lord help us to do that. So the first thing we need to understand, like I say, we need to do a little bit of a background. The first thing we need to understand is our absolute. If you're looking at issues, questions. We're looking at things which are people unsure of. We've got to take things back to an absolute. An absolute is the end of strife. An absolute is something that is perfect in itself. Once you find the absolute of something, you don't seek to find out from anybody else because you found the absolute. So we just need to understand the absolute a little bit. And I just put it down that there's only one and has only ever been one absolute. And that is the Bible. That is God's word. The Bible is God's perfect, fully encompassing revelation. We cannot add to the word. We cannot take away from it. Now, the Brother Rami speaks about it in the message Seed of Discrepancy. He says, right in the beginning of the Bible, God told Adam and Eve not to break one word. So right from Genesis, we see the same principle, God fortifying his people behind his word, and Satan coming to try to get people out from behind the word. Then he says, and Jesus in the middle of the book, when he came, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So right from the beginning, it was the word that God gave his people. Jesus came and reinforced that. We live by every word of the Lord. And then he says, and in the book of Revelation, at the end of the book, it says, whosoever shall take one word out of the book or add one word to it, his name will be taken from the book of life. So we can see from the beginning, the middle, and the ending of the Bible, there's only one absolute, and that's the perfect, pure word of God. And that is given to us in the Bible. That is the purity of the word. But what we're doing when we're studying the word, we don't want to make the mistake. We'll see it as we go. But we want to make sure that we're rightly dividing the word of truth. So to do that, we've got to follow what he says. He says, but then, he says, Barbara says, I read other things, I listen to other people. He says, but then I take it to God and I stay with it. You stay in prayer, you stay with the word until I can explain it from Genesis to Revelation. Then I see it all hook up in the Bible. Then I know it's somewhere near to being right. And there's a little picture there at the bottom of Jesus, you know, right from Genesis, all the names of the books of the Bible to Revelation. And you're going to find there's a continuity inside of the word, the continuity of the word. We don't want to be dislocating things. We don't want to be misinterpreting things. We don't want to be isolating scriptures to back up what we want to be said. But whatever we say, we should be able to trace it right the way through. So if you're going to look at how God wants people to dress, God didn't just all of a sudden decide in the New Testament that he doesn't like certain things and he likes certain things. He is the Lord and he changes not. So we'll find the continuity of the word. We can't just make a doctrine based on one or two scriptures. That continuity, that thought, you've got to be able to trace it right the way through to the or through the Bible. Then we know, like Brahman says, we know that we're somewhere near to the truth because that's the way that God works. So it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. The only thing that matters is what he thinks. That's what we're going to be really hammering down as we get into this. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. That is not our standard. That is not our absolute. The only thing that matters is what God thinks, what Christ, the Logos, the Word thinks, what he has revealed. And that's going to be revealed in his word. So the word is the absolute. The Bible is the absolute. There's no other absolute. There never will be another absolute. But what about when you get to matters of controversy, where we're trying to trace it through the Bible and we're trying to understand the word and it's not exactly clear? And we'll find that as we get onto these things, we get onto makeup, we get onto how hair should be done and different things. You know, we're going to find it in the word and then there's going to be people saying, but what does that mean? And how do I apply that now? And all those kind of things. So what the Lord did for us in his grace, he sent us in each age his divine commentary for the age. He sent us the message of each age. And what the message of the hour is to do is to bring us to, I said that he sends us a message in each age to do what? To bring the revelation of the application of the word for the age. So the message doesn't come to bring us something contrary to the word. But the message comes to help us to apply biblical truth, the truth of the Bible in our age. Now, when Paul wrote in the New Testament, his epistles, when John came and wrote the book of Revelation, They never spoke about the internet. They never spoke about social media. They never spoke about women dressing in tights and people coloring their hair purple, green, and red at the same time. They never spoke about the conditions of our day. They gave us the principles that we need to follow. And then God in his grace, he comes, Christ in the middle of the candlesticks, he comes to give us the message to bring what? How to apply the word in our age. So the message isn't going to give us anything new. It's not going to take anything and say anything contrary to the scripture. If it does, it's not right. You can never take away from the purity of God's word, the 66 books of the Bible. But the message comes to reveal how to apply that word. How do we apply that word in our age? And that is a great, great thing that the Lord has done to us. You know, he sends it to us. You know, so he speaks about this principle, Brother Bram, in the Church Age book. So there's Luther. So let's say that fifth candlestick I highlighted it, the fifth church age. The prophet says there that God sent his word. Okay, so he sent Luther with the word. The Lutherans spoke for God at that time. So in the Lutheran age, the 1500s coming into the 1600s, if people were reading the scripture, not knowing how to interpret it, not knowing how to correctly apply the scriptures, the Roman Catholic Church was telling them you have to pay money for salvation. You know, you can pray your relatives out of purgatory by paying so much money. So what did Luther do? Luther came now. God sent, already he had sent the perfection of his word, but he sent a message of the hour to shine light upon the scriptures that they needed to be quickened to them in that age, to the answers that they needed so that they could live victorious in that age, to overcome the conditions of their age. So there's Luther's writing, the Babylonian captivity of the church. That was greatly inspired truth in that age. And that was shining light upon the scripture, light upon the book of Revelation. There's Luther's commentary on the book of Romans. And this was God's divine commentary for the age. If you didn't understand the word for the age, you'd go back and see, what did Luther say about this? What did the messenger to this age have to say? Because God will always quicken everything which the bride needs in that age. Now, Luther didn't come and shine light on all the scripture. He didn't have time. Now, no messenger has time to take all 66 books of the Bible. But the Lord quickened him to certain scriptures, foundational truth. The just shall live by faith and all those things. And the deity of Jesus Christ and the sufficiency of scripture and stuff. And Luther now was quickened and shone light upon those scriptures, brought those scriptures to light. And the bride walked in the light in that age as the light shone upon the word. Now, we're not saying anything strange here. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and they asked him, men and brethren, what shall we do? What's going on here? He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So the Holy Ghost quickened Peter to shine light upon the scriptures that were being fulfilled at that time. Yeah, and then there are all the different scriptures that were revealed by Paul and all of those kind of things. God was revealing truth. And then over time now, we don't need anything new written in the Bible. What we need is God to shine light upon those scriptures so that God can be his own interpreter of his word, so that we can take the word and apply it correctly in our age, so we can walk in that scripture in our age. So the prophet says that God sent Luther with the word, and the Lutheran spoke for God at that time. And then when that age finished now, he now sent what? He sent Wesley in the next age, the sixth age, the missionary age, the Philadelphia age, right up 1700s, right the way to 1906. Then God sent Wesley. And he was the voice with the word in his day. That's a powerful thing. And there we can see there's the works of John Wesley, his sermons, there's all his books and so forth. You can see if you wanted in that day, if you were in the bride of that age and you were reading your Bible, you're not exactly sure, how can I be sanctified? What is salvation? What am I supposed to do? What is error? What is truth? What is the Antichrist? Where is Babylon? And all those things, you're going to find. Get yourself into the writings of Wesley, the ministry of Wesley, and also the others that were with him, and they shone light upon the scriptures pertaining to that age. And the bride was quickened by that, and the bride now became the voice with the word in their age. They never said anything contrary to the scripture. That's not what they were supposed to do. But the Lord shone light, quickened it through the message of the light of the candlestick. And that shone light upon the scriptural truth. And that showed them how to apply that word and to prevail and overcome in the age. And they became the voice with the word in their age. And that's a wonderful thing when you think about it, to do that. And it didn't stop then. And then finally become, and he says, and the people who took his revelation from God, that's Wesley, became the living epistles, read and known of all men for their generation. So not only did the Lord reveal the word to them, they now walked in the word, they became one with the word, until they became the word. They became the word bride, and then they became living epistles. If people wanted to know, like in our age, how are you supposed to dress? What pleases the Lord? We shouldn't just be taking people back to the word. We should be living epistles. We should be demonstrating the word. We should be the word made flesh. That's really what the bride is in every age, is the word made flesh. If people want to know how to be saved, you shouldn't only be able to point them to the word. It should be your own experience. You are a living epistle. Now, you are a living testimony of the word. You are the word made flesh. If people want to know, how is a man's hair supposed to be? How is a woman's hair supposed to be? I put that little thing on last week. Somebody sent it to me, and I really was blessed by it. That out of 100 people, only one person probably reads the Bible. The other 99 read that one, because that person's a living epistle. So we want to be a true reflection of the word in everything we do, in the way we dress, in the way we do our hair, in the way we talk, in the way we worship at church. We want the word to be applied in every aspect of our life. So obviously the Lord's going to quicken the word to us. There's going to be nothing in the word which we need to know in order to be living epistles that God isn't going to reveal to us. And I'm just trying to put that across at the beginning. How does he reveal that to us? Well, firstly, in the purity of his word. And secondly, like we're showing here, he sends his divine commentary for each age, which is the message of each age. And God comes and interprets his own word, quickens his own word, and reveals it to the people so they can walk with God in their day, so they can be the ones who reflect that word in their everyday life in each age. And then finally, in our day, the seventh age, and I put there's the church age book, seals book, shining light upon the scripture. And he says, until in this last day, there is again another people in the land who under their messenger will be the final voice to the final age. Yeah, I love that quote, because that is our commission, is it not, saints? That's our commission. Our commission is to be the voice with the word in our age. We're supposed to be living epistles, and there's the word bride. So our clothing, everything we do, by the grace of God, we should be a word bride. We should be living the word. So before we can live the word, we need to first become one with the word. We need that word to be quickened to us, need to understand the word, because there's a lot of other voices out there concerning dress, hair, jewelry, makeup. Now, if you get to a Pentecostal church today, you'll find a woman preacher up there, and she's going to have earrings as big as car tires just about, and she's going to have, so much makeup on that you could paint a building. She's going to be wearing tights. She's going to forgot her skirt at home. And she's going to be so anointed as well, and sick people being healed, and she'll be preaching to 5,000 people, and people will say, wow, that's the standard. Nope, the standard never changes. The absolute is always the word. And God sends a message to quicken that word, so God will vindicate that word. And the word bride will walk in the word. It doesn't matter what people say, that's not the standard. We want to be the word made flesh again, every single one of us. We want to be a true word bride. Okay, so here, a sister's testimony. I took this from Brother Chestlin when he was preaching some time back. He said a sister's testimony concerning dress, hair, makeup speaks more powerfully than a brother's. Look at those women of today, how they dress, showing off their belly buttons and all that. You look at a godly dressed sister, a godly dressed woman, clothed in the word, she's a living testimony. A man, yes, because man's becoming extreme now. These sissy boys now putting makeup on as men. No, you see the way they do their hair and the way men are dressing in effeminate clothing and stuff. Yeah, a boy, a man, a teenager, a genuine believer in this age, a living epistle, is living the word, showing God's mind on dress, God's mind on how your hair should be done, God's mind on how you should conduct yourself, God's mind on courtship, God's mind on marriage, God's mind on running the home, God's mind on worshiping at church. We want to be a word bride in every aspect of our lives. That's why we need to get into these topics once again. Because you want to be not arguing the scriptures with other people, but rather we'd live the scripture. That's what you want. You know, if the Lord looks in the neighborhood and somebody is saying, I wonder what the truth is of the word, and they point them to Brother Jesse. Yeah, there's a living epistle. Go and see, the man's living the word. That's what we want. So we desire to get deeper in it so the Lord can help us to better live the word. So what is our methodology now? As we approach these topics, as we approach them, there's got to be a method. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because it's very important to understand, especially for new people in the faith, in the message, young people in the faith, understand the methodology of how we find the absolute in our day, how we find the truth to walk in our day. That's what you're trying to show you. So first, our methodology, if we wanted to understand dress, if we wanted to understand hair, we wanted to understand jewelry, we wanted to understand makeup, we wanted to understand what footwear we should wear, we wanted to understand as brothers how we should do our hair. Can we, you know, be like the boys of the world and have our initials carved into our heads like they do, or, you know, have a lightning symbol behind our ear and all of that? You know, it's not going to be your and my opinion that counts. We need to use the correct method to rightly divide the word of truth, to find out what is God's absolute in this, what is God's desire. Because like I say, your thoughts and my thoughts don't count. The only thing that matters is God's thoughts, because we have to stand before him one day. So that's really what you want to. So we need to approach the word first. The very first thing, every single one of us, whether you're a minister, your brother, sister, husband, wife, you're a teenager, a young person who's accepted the Lord, if you're seeking truth, the first thing you do is you go to the scripture, because that's the absolute truth. Yeah, and God has given you the spirit of truth. So you go firstly to the scripture, and you go prayerfully, like we said. You're relying on the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, you're saying, Lord, I don't understand this. Can't you lead and guide me into all truth? God can speak to you just as much as he can speak to me. He can speak to a person who's been a Christian for 1 month just as much as he can speak to somebody, Brother Sasha there, or anybody else, Brother Clayton. God can speak to people. If you have an open heart, you yield it to the Lord, you seek him, God will speak to you through his word. And that's the greatest way, is if God can reveal his truth directly to you. Now, then you're comparing, like Paul says, spiritual things with spiritual. You compare scripture with scripture now. How do you do that? You use your concordance, you use your Bible app, whatever. Find parallel scriptures. You read the scripture where we'll go and see it in Timothy, when Paul speaks to Timothy about how women should dress. You find Peter speaks a similar thing. So you're going to compare now. You compare scriptures with scriptures. And that's the best way to start things off. For example, 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, which is a scripture by the grace of God we look at next week. In like manner, Paul says that women adorn themselves, dress themselves in modest apparel. Okay, good. So we need to go and find out, what does that mean? Modest apparel. Good. Okay, we've got a good starting point. We're not supposed to dress immodestly. Anybody can understand that from that scripture. Now, we're supposed to dress modestly. So we need to understand what is modesty in the eyes of God, scripturally. So we want to dress ourselves modestly, first of all. Then he says, when we're dressing ourselves with shamefacedness. Okay, so we're going to need to understand what is shamefacedness. And sobriety. Ooh, we're getting quite a few things we need to dig into here in one scripture concerning dress. Then he gets on to hair. Not with broided hair. Oh, what does that mean? Does that mean I can't plait my hair? No, it doesn't. We'll see it as we get by. Not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Not putting on expensive clothing. Uh-oh. Now our prosperity brothers are going to find some way to explain that scripture away, because He's telling us, hey, guys, you know, there's maybe more important things to do than to spend thousands of euros so that you can look, you can outdo one another at a wedding. There's far better things you could use your money for. You know, that's what he's trying to show us. And you'll see that as we get into the scripture. Now, like I said to Rachel today, I said, I've already recorded a lot of amens. Because I know as we get into this, I'm going to have to be playing a lot of amens to myself. I already polished up my CV, prepared to go back part-time working again, because, you know, some of these topics are not so popular. Like when you did music the other year. But friends, we just really need to know the truth. And God has shown us in his word, and he's given us a wonderful message and other resources to show us the truth of his word. So, you know, so like I'm just giving an example. There's a scripture. Already there's a lot of rich material inside of there to try to find out. In one scripture, there's a lot about dressing, about jewelry, about hair. It's already there in one scripture. And we always want to start with the scripture because we are word bride. Then, if we need help, we don't understand, okay, I don't understand broided hair. I've tried to find out. I've read my Bible. I've looked at different translations. I can't really understand this. The next thing we go to our divine commentary for the age. So we have volume one, volume two, conduct, order, doctrine. You'll find it in your table. You've got questions and answers. In the table, you go and search now, broided hair, whatever. What did Brother Branham say about these things? Because the message of the age comes to interpret what you need to know for your age, to apply those scriptures in your day. So we've gone now, we've looked in the word, we've now come to something that wasn't so clear. We're getting ourselves in the divine commentary, we're getting ourselves in the message of the hour to try to find out what the messenger to the age said. What light did he shine? Because if it's really important for us to know, God is going to shine light upon it. So we get to the divine commentary. Now, this is also, I said that if it isn't addressed there in the message, then it isn't a mystery pertaining to this age. Brother never covered three quarters of the Bible. Yeah, I mean, he focused a lot on certain scriptures because those were end time scriptures, prophetic scriptures, that this is that scriptures, that this day is the scripture fulfilled scriptures. But it doesn't mean the rest of the Bible isn't important. It's just as important as when God first spoke it. So a lot of the Bible is not mystery. It's plain, straightforward. Read your book of Psalms. You don't need Brother Ram to come and interpret the Psalms for you. The Psalms are pretty straightforward. There might be certain ones there which he focuses on concerning the rapture and so forth. But most of the Psalms are just Psalms. You know, they're just songs. Go to the Proverbs. You know, you're going to find a lot of it's just good common sense. A lot of the books of the Bible, the Kings and all of that, we didn't need the message to go and shine light on that. You can read it yourself and God can speak to you through those things. But there's certain portions of the word that we're focused on in this age because those are the scriptures pertaining to this age. Like Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. You see, the scriptures pertaining to our day. That's what the message focuses on, but it does cover other things, but it doesn't cover all the scriptures. And you'll soon find that when you get into the message. It didn't need to cover all of the scriptures because not all of the scriptures were mysteries pertaining to this day. Now, when we're speaking about this one here, about getting into the commentary for your day, this is where ministry is very, very helpful as well. You know, ministry, God puts the fivefold ministry, puts Malachi 4 there to puts Ephesians 4, I'll put it, the fivefold ministry, which is Ephesians 4, they help us greatly here to be able to find out in the message the answers to the questions that we're seeking. Not too many of us have a lot of time in our lives. But God gifts certain people. He puts prophets, he puts pastors, evangelists, apostles, teachers, and he gifts them. And they are gifted now to be able to bring from the truth, bring and shine light upon the questions that you've got. Yeah, not too many people have time to go through all 1,200 messages. Yeah, and to really go through things. But that is why he gives us ministry to help us in these things as well. It's very, very important fivefold ministry that help us greatly. But let's say that we find out something. We find something in the Bible. We're trying to understand it. We look in the message. Brother Owen doesn't speak about that. You know, we try to read the Bible for ourselves. let's not forget something. If it isn't revealed to us in our age, then it's been revealed to the bride in a previous age. Because the light of the candlesticks has been shining in all seven ages. So there's a lot of scriptural truth that has been revealed to the ages before us. We didn't need the messenger of age to come and re-reveal to us what had already been revealed. So you're going to find, if you search it out in the scripture, not too sure, you search it out in the message, it's not addressed there, you're going to find somebody in an age gone by, God has quickened them to reveal this truth, to shine light and rightly divide this word of truth in the light of one of these ages gone by. So once we've searched there on the left-hand side, we've searched the scriptures, we've gone into the divine commentary of our age, we're still looking for things. We maybe got the book of Proverbs, we're trying to find the real meaning of one of the Proverbs. It's not in the message, most Proverbs aren't. What we're going to do? We take it back to the God-honored, time-tested commentaries of the past, which came out. This was the light of the messages of days gone by. And there's some powerful ones, friends. I don't know in different languages what other saints have, but we have some very good ones. That one, Matthew Henry's commentary, is a really, really good one. He was one of John Wesley's disciples, and he was a minister himself. It's powerful. These are really good. So just to know the basics, you're trying to find a simple answer. You don't understand one of the genealogies of the Bible. Why is it one of the genealogies is for Mary? One of the genealogies of the life of Christ is for Joseph. You're not going to find that in the message. But you get in these commentaries, you're going to find the answer there. Very satisfying truth, because God has revealed truth through the ages. He didn't just start revealing truth in the end time. There was specific truth had to be revealed the end time. And certain truths had to be, the light had to be shone upon them again because they'd been lost through time. But a vast portion of the Bible is open for all. Yeah, and it was always open for all. And those type of books, those commentaries, are very, very helpful. Very, very helpful. But when you first become a believer, stay in the word, stay in the message. Leave these kind of things to those that are ahead of you in the Lord. Ask questions. Ask me questions. Ask the other ministers. Ask the deacons. Ask your Sunday school teachers. Ask your youth leaders. They will really help you to find the answers you're looking for. But I'm just showing you that there's these different levels of seeking for truth if you're really trying to get an understanding. Now, people will look at that. I know certain people in certain message circles will look at that, and they will be rolling over today saying, hey, how can he even put anything there? The reason I put these things here is, if I get to the next slide, if my technology doesn't let me down, this is a picture of Brother Branham's library in his den room. When the prophet went off the scene, he left over 256 books in his library. But these were the ones that were on his desk. And when I was young as a believer, I went to look to say, what books did Brother Branham have on his desk when he was studying the Bible? There's Matthew Henry's commentary. That's the reason I went and bought a Matthew Henry's commentary, because the prophet used it. And these little books on the side on the left, can you see the red one and those five green books? That is McIntosh. He was in the 1800s. Notes on the Pentateuch, on the first five books. And those are tremendous books. I didn't know Brother Branham had them. I've got some of those books. I bought them at a secondhand bookstore. Old, old books, 100 years old. But they're very, very good. Speaking of Genesis, Exodus, but more, not on doctrine, but more like devotion. If you're just wanting a general understanding with some riches, types, and shadows, and so forth. And when I found them there in Brother Branham's library, when I looked at this picture again today, I said, oh, I'm so glad. Because I really love McIntosh, C.H. McIntosh. He's powerful. And then you'll see that was in Brother Ram's library. And you'll find the one on the right-hand side, the Dispensational Truth, Larkin. You're going to find a lot of books. I have most of those books in my library because I saw Brother Ram had them. And I said, why did he have them? Now, when you're reading them, you need to understand. You need to use a filter. There's going to be certain truths in there that hadn't yet been revealed and certain things that only came forth in our age. But there's a tremendous amount of truth that God revealed in times gone by. And every prophet would also go back to the prophets gone by. When Daniel was in his day, he was reading the writings of Jeremiah. No, prophet doesn't just come down fresh and bring everything new in his age. He doesn't need to. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. God has been speaking to his bride through seven church ages. And there's a tremendous amount of truth, and especially truth that God honored, that's come through to us in this age. So much of the rest of it is gone, but there's certain commentaries in that God has blessed through the ages. And you'll find those things are quite a great blessing. So that's why I got into those things when I was looking for answers. And if you don't find it in the message, you'll find it in some of these books. The prophet had these books. And those are the very, very things that I've been benefited from greatly down through the ages since I became a Christian. Now, so you can see there's different resources we can use if we're trying to rightly dividing the word of truth. Firstly, scripture, then the commentary for your age, the divine commentary, the message of the hour. If it's not inside of there, God has got other resources that he's allowed to filter through and put into our hands that we go and search. And God has quickened and inspired his bride down through the ages to bring forth truth about anything that we need. And you'll find there's nothing that we need that you're not going to find light upon if God leads you, if the Holy Ghost leads you into it. So we want to apply now truth on a few topics now. That's what you need to get into, don't you? What's the first one? How should a Christian dress? We're just laying a foundation today. But you know, so we're going to find it out. We're going to look in the scripture. We're going to look in the message if we don't understand the scripture. And then we can go and look at other resources as well to back up what is being said in the message. And we'll find out, friends, we have a very powerful resource. Now, there's no reason for us to doubt what we believe if you really, really correctly divide the word of truth. So how should a Christian dress? This is going to include footwear. What kind of shoes? Because God is specific about these kind of things also, especially in our age. Then secondly, what about makeup and jewelry? We want to find the scriptural standard for these things for our day. What about makeup? What about jewelry? Yeah, I want to be a word bride. I want to be a living epistle. Am I living the scripture? Or are there portions inside of my life where I didn't know that it was unscriptural for me to do what I'm doing? I want to line myself up with the word. But we need grace to rightly divide the word of truth so we can apply the word. And we all have an absolute standard. We see where it's coming from. It's not from my understanding, your opinion, my opinion. Nope. We take it back to God interpreting his own word to us. That's what you want. Then we have a confidence in what you believe. Then when a Pentecostal person challenges you, when somebody from your old church challenges you, one of your relatives challenges you, you can take it back to the word because we are word bride. You don't just have to say to them, you know, we believe a message in Brother Branham. No, Brother Branham was a word prophet. Everything he taught us, we can take it back to the word. So we want to trace these things back to the pure absolute of the word. And the message is going to help us tremendously to shine light. And on certain aspects, we'll take some other resources as well to come and reinforce that light to show why we believe the things that you believe. So makeup and jewelry. Thirdly, finally, what about hair? Aha. Yes, we need to look at that. Not only for women, friends, but for men as well. We need to look at hair. What about hairstyles, coloring your hair, tinting your hair, kinking your hair? What about extensions? What about brothers, you know, having a box cut and all these kind of things? No, we want to have a look. Let's see. Some of us, we're having less and less of a problem with it. So that's what you wanted to have a look at. So let's finish off just coasting a little bit. Let's get in some quotes. Let's just finish up our background today. Like I said, we're not really getting into the topic today. We're trying to show our methodology, how we're going to approach this. And the reason I did that is that this is how you should approach your rightly dividing the word as well, how you should approach seeking the Lord as well. Okay, so on all of these things, who sets the standard? Who sets the standard? That's a big question. For example, who defines what is beautiful and what isn't? How do we define that? Who sets the standard for beauty in our age? If you wanted to be beautiful, because a woman wants to be beautiful, there's nothing wrong with someone wanting to dress pretty, wanting to dress nice, dress smart, dress even a bit stylish. Well, as long as your motive is right, we'll see it. Now, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, they say. You know, so we need to be careful whose eye we're looking at these things through. So who defines what fashions are acceptable or not? And jewelry, makeup, hair, etc. So let's have a look at some. We need to ask ourselves, where did this come from? So when we see somebody looking like a butterfly dyed above their eyes, we should be asking ourselves, where do we get this from? Where does this come from? Now, there's two sources we'll see. There's the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of darkness, and we're in the middle. We receive inspiration from one or the other, but there's only two sources of inspiration. There's only two sources where you can get advice, counsel, interpretation from. And we want to make sure we're getting it from the right place. So we want to look at these things to say, hey, is it okay for us to take feathers and stick them on our eyes? Is that godly? Is that really what God wants us to do? Or is this a pagan trait? Is this something that comes from the kingdom of darkness, but somehow has crept into the Christian world? So we need to understand this. Where did these things come from? Or what about this? Things dangling from our ears and our necks. And like Brahma says, you go near a magnet, you'll be in trouble, some woman, with all the jewelry which they put on. We want to see, what is the scriptural standard? Is this right? I mean, to put green things and orange things and all this kind of stuff and put pink on our lips and red on our lips. Is this really, really the right thing which we should be doing? What about this? What about coloring our lips, coloring our hair, putting makeup on our eyes, putting blue stuff on our eyes, and like it looks like somebody's been playing darts above your eye just about. Look at that one in the middle. Look at her lips. My word. Where does this come from? You can play chess on her lips. You think about it. Strange. Look at the one on the left-hand side. Yay. She's very clever. I think she does it so that if she does something wrong and the police take a photo, she stands on one side. And then when they catch her, she stands on the other side. And they think it's a different person. This is like the personalities and just bright red lips and all these kind of things and putting all this dark stuff around our eyes. Where does this come from, saints? Is this godly? Is this modest? Is this what God had in his mind when he looks down at a woman in this age? Or is this something that's come from somewhere else? So we want to see the source of these things. We don't want to just be telling people, don't do something. Let's go and rightly divide it. Let's dig into it. Let's see where these things come from. Let's see what God says about these things. Let's see what the divine commentary of our age says about these things. And let's see what the men of God of past ages said about these things as well. Then we should be able to have some confidence in the things that you believe. What about this? Guys, the colors of the rainbow. Is this really what God wanted? I mean, where does this come from for people to color their hair and all these colors? And so is this right? Is this godly? I mean, is this really what God intended for a woman to be? Or what about this one here? Is this godly? Now, where did this come from? Did God ever intend a woman to stand in that posture? To put high heels like that, so that it's not even good for you health-wise. We'll see. It's not even good for your posture. It presses out your breasts and it presses out your behind. Yeah, we'll see. Where did these things come from? Did God ever, did this come from the kingdom of God, this design? Or did this come from somewhere else when you're speaking about shoes? So what does the word say about it? What does the message of the age take, the divine commentary say about it? Let's filter these things through so we come out with a divine standard at the end. So we can make sure in everything that we're doing, by the grace of God, we are living epistles. What about this one? Showing off your belly button. This is the big thing. Everyone walks around showing their belly buttons, girls. Where does this come from? Does God want everybody to show their belly buttons? And not only that, but piercing your belly button, piercing your nose, piercing every part of your body just about. Where does this come from, saints? Is this godly? I mean, did God ever tell people to pierce their bodies? We don't want to be living things that are not scriptural. We want to be written epistles, living epistles. So by the grace of God, we'll try to get into these things if the Lord will help us. Now, it's not only going to be for girls and women. What about this? What about guys showing off their underpants when they're walking around town? Yeah. I even like that one senator there in America. Put it on the billboard. We are better than this. Stop the sag, he says. And look at the guys. And you find our young people sometimes they're doing these things. Wow, no, friends. We shouldn't be doing these things. This has an origin. Do you know that this particular trait of men walking with their pants half down has an origin? Go and study it yourself. You know where it came from? It came from in the prisons. In the prisons, this is truth that I'm telling you. Go and search it for yourself. In the prison, if a man wanted to have a gay relationship, was feeling to have a gay relationship with another man, he would pull his trousers down like that and walk around in the prison. That was an advert to other men that he was ready. And people don't know what they're doing, and they're pulling their pants down, walking around town like this. No, like that senator says, we are better than this. By the grace of God as believers, we've been washed in the waters of the word. We've been transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we'll try to get into why young people do this. I mean, it's the most ridiculous looking thing. Look at those guys walking down the street. Why do they do it? It's because of peer pressure. It's because people are trying to feel accepted. Because there's a lack inside of the soul of people. They don't feel accepted in Christ. They haven't found themselves yet. So they're trying to feel accepted. So they conform and give in to peer pressure and give themselves over to these things because there's a thirst inside of them, as we saw at the camp. There's something unsatisfied, not fulfilled inside of them. So these are things which, by the grace of God, we'd like to look at. So let's just finish with this thought. We are all channeling another dimension. You know, all of us, we influenced in everything inside of our lives. We're either influenced from the kingdom of God or we influenced from the kingdom of darkness. We're all channeling another dimension in all in our behavior, in what you believe, in our way of worship, in the way we dress, all of these things. These are influences. We're giving into certain influences. And you know, we're living in a day now where this kingdom of darkness, its voice is very, very strong. Just going to finish with a few quotes where the prophet shows, where did these things come from? Exodus 25, verse 40. The Lord says to Moses, he said, and look that you make them after their pattern, which was shown you in the mount. He says, when you're making the tabernacle, when you're establishing worship and the things that you do, when you're dressing the high priest, when you're approaching me, yeah, the altar and all these things, you can't make them the way that you want them to be. Make them according to the heavenly pattern. Make sure that the inspiration came from the kingdom of God, that everything that you're doing follows a heavenly pattern. Don't make things pertaining to the Lord and worship and how you dress and all these different things according to your own understanding or the wrong inspiration, but you want to follow the right inspiration. So the prophet speaks of the voice of Hollywood, and we'll see it, that Hollywood is to blame for these things. This influence of all of these fashions, all these strange trends, it's the voice of Hollywood. He says about Satan, he said he set up his headquarters over here in Hollywood. The devil landed back here a few years ago, 15 or 20 years ago, with his great army, and went and hit in Hollywood, California, and has invaded the United States with his demon powers. Now, the prophet, just looking at the effects of cinema at that time and of television coming in the 1960s, imagine what he'd say about social media, about all the pressure, the peer pressure, the influence coming through social media, through Facebook, through, you know, Instagram, TikTok, all of these kind of things. All of these trends and the influence that they're coming forth. But even in his day, he could see where Satan had targeted to bring Babylon into America, in the natural, to bring America to the condition of Sodom, as it was in the days of Lot. That to be an influence, that to be an invasion coming against a nation that was started on godly principles. And he invaded the United States with these demon powers. He says, look what Hollywood has done to the woman. Look how it is. It's robbed the sacred virtues of the woman. She's been deceived by television, by magazines, by these people, you know, these fallen stars, Beyoncé and all of these. She's been deceived by these people. These are the ones that bring the trends and then the young girls and that. Now, it's not just television and magazines anymore. Now it's social media, it's YouTube, it's just this continual influence, billboards, music, you know, the movies. You can just see Netflix, streaming, all of these things now. You can just see how it's conditioned the world, deceived the world, and unfortunately it's robbed the sacred virtues of modesty from the woman. It's a sad thing to see. He continues on. He says, the modern girls, they look at magazines, they look at the pictures, they look on the street, You know, they see in their neighborhood all the girls, the way they dress in their streets and so forth. They were not born again. Modern girls, even message-believing children, they see the clothing in the shops. How Satan, that great instrument of hell, has come down among the people and deceived them into these things. So we can see we really need to reinforce the source of these things. So much of this dressing is paganism. Painting your face is a pagan trait. The American Indians used to paint their faces and dance around their fire and, you know, garden, fight wars and go for their hunts and so forth. People in Africa painting themselves. No godly person will ever find in the Bible that we should paint them ourselves. It's a heathen trait. It shouldn't be numbered among the children of God. We want to just reinforce those facts. We need to find the source of these things. Trace it back and see, where did these things come from? But they've come in so deceptive now. All the film stars, all of the, you know, the YouTube influencers and so forth. Such an influence upon this age. Then he says, and we in America and the rest of the world have a loud speaking voice today. And that's the voice of Hollywood. It's captured the world. Let somebody come out in Hollywood with something and find it all over the country, the power of influence. Now, we notice that they have set a pattern for our woman on their dress, their hairstyles. They set that dress. So when you find all of these strange things, it was Hollywood. You know, the designs come from different places, but how did it has become popular? It comes popular through Netflix. It comes popular through the soap operas of a few years back. Becomes popular through the movies, through the music, through all these things, through the sports stars. So all these young men and young boys on the street with a Ronaldo haircut or a haircut like Neymar and or a haircut like whoever, you know? The latest haircut that they have, these sports stars, you find the young boys, they're all following that. It's a power of influence, friends. Then to finish off, he says, the church ought to know the voice of the trumpet of God on that. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises a standard. The watchman on the wall, when he sees the enemy coming, it blow the trumpet so people could prepare themselves for war. The voice of the trumpet of God is his revealed word, is the truth of his word concerning these things. The prophet says the church ought to know the voice of the trumpet of God on that. But there's so much confusion because you see others do so, examples. You see, oh, but in another message church, when the sisters were marrying, I saw them with makeup on. You know, I saw another message church when they were marrying down there somewhere else in the world. I see them putting on worldly music during their weddings. Be careful where you're getting your example from, saint. Don't let your example come from other people. It's not me a standard, it's not you a standard. The word is the standard. It says, don't never pattern yourself after that kind of an example because it's perishable. Always hear the voice of God, what he says about it. So that's our thought, saints, as we get into this by the grace of God. We want to know the voice of the truth of God about these things. We want to have the right kind of example that we follow. I don't care if other people say that we're old-fashioned and, you guys are behind the times and stuff. Good. I want to be old-fashioned like Abraham because we're the seed of Abraham. I want to be old-fashioned like Peter and Paul. We sing about the old-time religion and that. Yeah, we should be proud to have old-time religion. Doesn't mean we have to dress like antiques and we have to dress in sacks and put on sackcloth and ashes. We're not saying that. There's nothing wrong dressing smart, nothing wrong being stylish if your heart is right, as long as it's godly, as long as it's modest. There's nothing wrong with a woman wanting to be pretty. She must be, the prophet said. She should be pretty for her husband. But you want to find out what are the boundaries and what are the parameters so that we can pattern ourselves after the right kind of example. And to do that, we need to rightly divide the word of truth by the grace of God. And we need to hear the voice of God, what he says about these things. So may the Lord help us in that. As we close in a word of prayer, saints, let's just bow our heads. Father, we need your grace, Lord, in everything that we do. Lord, so much pressure out there, Lord, just presses in. And so many other voices, so much other influence. Some of it very influential, Lord. And the patterns of music that we see and the patterns of fashion. And, Lord, the patterns, Lord, of how people do their hair and all these things. May you help us, Lord. Father, to be what you want us to be. Show us the heavenly pattern, Lord. Show us your mind on these things. And let us be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God concerning these things. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth, we pray. And may you bless each and every one of your people. Bless our young people. May, Lord, we come behind the fortress of the word. May we hide ourselves behind the word. May we put ourselves and put your blood between ourselves and these things we ask. May you bless the remainder of this evening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you, saints. Does anybody have anything to say or question or comments just before we finish? Carmel was asking, I have a question about the Hollywood movies. What about when people make Christian movies? Would that be bad to do? No, it's good. It's very good. In fact, one of those quotes there, I didn't put the whole quote. Brother Ram says, I don't have anything against TV. He says, it's what they're putting on the TV. You know, and there's a time Brother Ram told the people, look, that film, The Ten Commandments, has come out. He says, normally I don't advise people to go to cinema. He says, but I advise you to go and watch that. He says, because that's a really, really good film. You know, so there's good Christian films out there. Now, if you want to know some of them, let me know. I can really point you in that direction. We've watched them as a family. There's some very inspiring films out there. Yes, God has his people in every industry. Yeah, there's good Christian music out there. There's good Christian books out there. There's good Christian entertainment out there. Yeah, as long as it passes through the filter of the word, passes through the filter of the message of our day, that's a wonderful thing. So yes, there's nothing wrong. If somebody wants to make Christian films, but you've got a shrinking audience, you know, your target audience is shrinking more and more as time goes by, because Laodicea is lukewarm. It puts Christ outside of the door. So if you really want to stand with Christ, stand for the right principles, stand for the right morals, you know, you're not going to be the most popular people in this age. So it's a good thing to remember. But yeah, there's good Christian resources out there. And if you want help to find any of them, we'd really be glad to help you on that. Anybody else, saints? Any comments, any questions? Before we head for the hills and send out our CV. Anybody else?
Shalom, Brother Andrew.
Oh, Brother Willie, God bless, bro.
God bless you too. We are hiring at our company if you have your CV.
Thanks, bro. That's good. I'll send it as soon as we finish.
Nah, thank you. It finished so quick. I'm surprised, you know, because it's a very, very good topic. It's not popular, like you said. But yeah, I was listening to a message the other day with going to church. Super sign,
Yeah. Wonderful.
And in there, the prophet speaks about how people want everything super. Even the super shoes, you know, like the ones you were showing. Yes. But he said something that really captured me. And ever since that time, I should show you some of my notes of the things I've been researching towards these things.
Good.
And he says that some of these things, like the way people are dressing now and then the Christian copying them, he says it's a sign of spiritual darkness, you know?
That's right.
That really shocked me, you know, to see that we can go so far and cover things with a cloak of religion, but be under spiritual darkness, you know?
And
I'm thankful to God that we are still able to have topics like this, discuss them, and that at the end of it, you don't have to be looking for a new job, you know?
I know that, brother. One wonderful thing about God's people is they appreciate truth. It may come and people might say, ouch, and they might say, hey, that was tough. But every single one of us, we're all subject to the word. And I mean, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. We just want to be in line with the word. And especially in this age, we don't need to play with these things because they're all pervasive. You know, it's everywhere. Brother Pressure. So yes, I'd be very happy if you'd send me and help me, brother, on those things, which would be really great.
Yeah, sure, I would do that. Thank you.
If I could also recommend, especially to the young people, I was going through my notes, and I actually had preached on this one. I did this during lunchtime fellowship, how should a Christian dress, a few years back. And just before I made these notes, I was digging them out to just revise them again. I found in my notes that Brother Cheslin had just done a youth meeting that Sunday on image worship.
Yes.
And I made some notes, and I had them in my actual notes, and it was very powerful. So I went yesterday, but if you go to our YouTube channel, Dublin Christian Fellowship, search Cheslin Downes, D-O-W-N-E-S, look for image worship. I would recommend to the young people, go back to that message, to that youth fellowship, and listen, and stop and take some notes, because Brother Cheslin is speaking of the pressure now for people now to give in, to conform to this image that, you know, that Satan wants to portray in this day. It was a tremendous, tremendous thought that he took on there. You know, he was showing about, you know, the things we see and how Satan dwells in beauty and all these things. And it was very, very virtuous. Yeah, I went and listened. I didn't finish it yesterday, but I listened to about half of it again. And I said, wow, I really will. I'll put it on. I'll put the link onto the DCF Youth and that. And I'd recommend go back again and prayerfully just listen to what he had to say, because it was very, very good. Very, very good concerning this topic, as a good build up to this topic. Thanks, Brother Willie. God bless. Anything more you want to say there, bro?
No, that's it, brother. Thanks so much.
Thanks, brother. Anybody else before we finish there? Just greeting to the people on YouTube as well. May the Lord bless you there. If anybody has any questions on this, please feel free to send it through. We'd be really happy to try to address these things. Like I said, it will take a bit of time because the topic is big. There's a lot involved in this, you know, so let's put ourselves in fifth gear, put ourselves in overdrive and be ready to really go through these things by the grace of God. But I think it's the right time. A lot of the young ones who are baptized, who are asking questions about these things. And that's when I saw, good, the time has come. We'd been speaking with Brother Will, the ministers before, you know, a couple of months back, saying it's time for us to go through these things again. And then when now these young ones started asking the questions and stuff, then I said, ah, very good. Now there's a demand. So let us try to address these things, and may the Lord help us. Oh, Brad Clayton, God bless, bro.
God bless you. Thank you so much for the wonderful Bible study. I just wanted to mention about the demon powers, the quotation that you read about the invasion.
Yeah.
When you say the devil landed back here a few years ago, 15, 20 years ago, with his great army, went hit in Hollywood. So I think it's just my thought to say the devil invaded and the demon powers were through Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that most of those demon powers, the devil has been moving over the years. Now he's now using the social medias, because that time there were no social medias.
That's
so
true.
Most of those demon powers are now through the different social media platforms that we have in these times. So I believe these topics are also attached to the social medias. Most of the influence that is influencing our young people, TikTok, some of them I don't even know them because I'm not into them, but I believe the social medias are really playing a pivotal role in influencing most of the young people, or topics like dress code for many people in these times. Yeah, that's what I wanted to mention.
Amen. I remember years back, Brian, I took a thought on the other Babylon, and I was speaking about, there's the two Babylons in Revelation 18. There's Mystery Babylon, Revelation 17, which is the religious Babylon, which is Rome. And Revelation 18, you get on, you know, the prophet said, the angel throwing the millstone into the sea, said that's Los Angeles, with the voice of the pipers and all the fashions and all that. That is the natural Babylon. That is comes from America, but that's the Babylon system. You know, the commerce and the entertainment of our day. And I was saying, you know, we were all focusing so much on the first Babylon, Mystery Babylon. But Rome is never going to deceive a message believer. But it's this other Babylon that's catching the message believers now. You know, it's this commercial Babylon. It's the fashions and the music. And when you're saying it there, it's absolutely the truth, bro. Because when the prophet spoke of Hollywood, what does Hollywood represent? It's the entertainment industry. You see, so all these things, YouTube, even social media, it's all linked to the entertainment industry. You see, so it's all, the name of it before was Hollywood. Now you'd put it as the entertainment industry. And that's going to include your music, which would include your YouTube. It's going to include, you know, all of these things now that have such an influence over people. It used to be MTV. I remember when I was growing up, I don't think that has too much of an influence. But now it's going to be like Netflix. It's going to be Disney, you know, with their now, all of their rainbow agenda and all that kind of stuff now. You see all the things they're putting in the new Disney film. So, yes, bro, it's the prophet lived in seed time. You've heard me say that many times. It was the time of the former rain when the seed was being sown. So he saw the seed being sown. He saw it's going to come from Hollywood, but we're living in harvest time. Now we're living in the time of the latter rain. So now it's not just, you know, the seed being, so now we see the harvest. We see what that seed has produced. Like he was living in the day when there was seed time, spoken word, original seed, Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, and the word. The three planters went forth to sow. We're living in the harvest time. Now there's T.D. Jakes, there's Joel Osteen, there's the harvest now. But we can trace it back to the seeds which were sown back then. Same with all these things. You know, no matter what it is now, Instagram, TikTok, we trace it back. You know, Satan started off, the prophet actually says it. He says he started off with the cinema until he could bring the televisions in. That's what he says in that message, Invasion of the United States. But that wasn't the end of it. He didn't stop at television. Now you've got it in your pocket. You've got television in your pocket. You know, so he brought it, you know, even closer than it was there. It's amazing if you think about it. It's quite a powerful thing that the prophet saw the things in the infancy. He saw them in, you know, the seed time. And now we're seeing the harvest coming to the full maturity of these things in our day. And that's how we'll see it in a vast variety of arenas now. But we can all trace it back to that same seed. It's that voice of Hollywood that started it all. And even Hollywood now is still very influential, bro. You think of, you know, because it includes Beyoncé and it includes all of these singers, you know. And you see the influence they have over the young ones. So it's the movies, the music, it's the even the video games. And then obviously the porn industry comes from California. It's all in the same area as Hollywood. That's what's caused the Sodom condition of our day. So yes, bro, thanks for that. Sister Bruno was asking, how about flip-flops and beer? Well, we'll get on to that. Or open foot finger shoes. That's good. Those are the good ones we'll bear in mind as we get on to having a look at shoes. What does it say in the Bible? The Bible may not tell us, and the message may not tell us exactly concerning specific things, but it gives us the boundaries and the parameters. So we can now take what we have, our clothes, our shoes, our hairstyles, and we can see, you know, can I look in the mirror of the word? Is this going to fit within those boundaries and those parameters? So may the Lord help us. But yes, sister, we'll bear those things in mind as we get onto footwear by the grace of God. Anybody else before we finish there, saints? Or is that more than enough for the day? Okay. Let's ask Brother Clayton to pray for us, please, as we finish. And God bless you, saints. May the Lord bless the rest of your evening and the rest of the week.
Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we just want to thank you, Father, for this wonderful Bible study. Lord, we thank you for these teachings because, Father, we have a desire in our hearts. That desire is to please you, my Lord. We don't desire, Father, to please people. We don't desire, Father, to please one another. But we want to please our Master, our Bridegroom, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Father, for these Bible studies, Father, that are going to come ahead in the weeks to come, Lord. May you inspire our pastor. May you bless everyone, Lord, that will participate in these Bible studies. Father, may we take these Bible studies, Father, with a spiritual eye to learn, Father, what you want from us, O God Almighty, concerning, Father, dress code and all these other things. Father, we know that everything, Father, matters. Even, Father, Lord God Almighty, the way we walk in this world, Father, Lord God Almighty, the way we dress, the way we speak,
yes,
Father, Lord God Almighty, we have to represent the heavenly pattern in all these things. Father, I pray that, Lord God Almighty, you bless even, O God Almighty, our young people, together with our older people, Father, to observe these statutes, to observe the commandments. We see how society is changing, Father, Lord God Almighty, with each and every passing year, Father, and it's even changing at a faster pace than before. The way society is dressing, the way society is behaving, O God, but Lord, your word is still the same. You are still the same, Father. The way we ought to present ourselves is still the same way, Father, you expected the people that were living, Father, 100 years ago or 50 years ago, because you are still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I pray, Father, that Lord God Almighty, may we catch this revelation, Father, that we have to move the way heaven, we have to move ourselves, Father, according to the heavenly pattern. And with through these Bible studies, may we see that heavenly pattern, O God. We thank you. We appreciate you. May you bless us, Father, the rest of the night today. And may you bless the prayer meeting on Friday. May you bless the weekend services. We just want to appreciate you for all these things as we commit ourselves to you now, Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless each and every one. Saints, have a good evening. Until we meet, may the Lord richly bless you.
Bye. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye.
God bless each and every one. God bless. God bless.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you.
God bless. God bless.
I was saying amen, so.
You need to record it and send it to me, please. You might not be saying amen next week.
No, I always say amen for you, Pastor. God bless.
God bless. God bless, bro.
Thank you.
God bless. God bless.